Turn with me, if you would, now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Our text tonight is verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always, always, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Most Monday mornings, I get to my study and I sit down at my desk and I open up this word wondering, now what? Most Monday mornings, I sit down and I just think, now what? What is the message that the Lord would have me to say now? What do I get to tell my brethren now? I immediately think about Wednesday night. And a message is a message. You don't just say what you want to say. So many times I thought, well, I'm going to preach from this, and I'm not preaching from that. It's not the message. And, you know, I sit there wondering, what would the Lord give to me? What would He have me to say? We only have one message. We only have one message, the message of Christ. The person and the work of Christ. That is our message. But I wonder what text that message will come from. And I wonder what we will see in light of that message. I wonder what the Lord will impress on my heart. That's what goes through my mind as I sit there thinking, reading. What will the Lord give me to say to my dear brethren? Monday, I was thinking about right now, thinking about all of us coming back. You know, we were just there all day on Sunday and coming back. And I thought it would be so nice if we could just rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes we look at deep things, hard things. And I thought it would be so wonderful if we could just simply, just very simply, rejoice in the Lord. Just be so glad and just rejoice in the Lord. So if the Lord is willing, that's all we're going to do tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I titled this message, Reasons to Rejoice. But a believer who loves Christ, a believer who is truly looking to and trusting in Christ, he does not have to go searching for reasons to rejoice in the Lord. We do not need a reason to rejoice in the Lord. We just do. The heart of a child of God just does. We rejoice in Him. But I found some scriptures that will remind us of why we do. Some of the wonderful reasons. Wonderful, right? We may change the title. Wonderful reasons to rejoice. So this is a reminder of the reasons. That's what this is. This do in remembrance. All right, turn with me to Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 12 says, Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. He said, I'm speaking to the righteous. I'm speaking to those who He, the one who knew no sin, was made sin for, that they might be made the righteousness of God, made righteous in Him. He said, that's who I'm speaking to, and this is what I have to say. Be happy. Be happy. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Does it not put a smile on our hearts? Every time we remember that the Lord our God is holy. The Lord is holy. The Lord is so, so pure, so perfect. This world is so unpure, and this world is so unperfect. We're just dragging through the slough of despond. But to think, just to remember, oh yeah, the Lord is holy. He is holy. He's perfect. He's right. It gives me so much comfort. I know it does you too, at the remembrance of the fact that everything He does, period, everything He does concerning us is perfect. It's good. It's right. The judge of the earth is only going to do right. He's perfect. He's holy. Deuteronomy 32 says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. He's holy. It has never been said, and it will never be said. It has never been said, it will never be said, He shouldn't have done that. Never. 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 In all things concerning us, in all things concerning all things, every situation that He handles, and He handles every situation, every one of them is yea and amen. Every single one of them. God's people will be crying for all eternity. If you want to know what we're going to be doing for all eternity, it's this. We're going to be crying. He hath done all things well. He's done all things well. For a soul who's ready to be done with the presence of sin, that's good news. That's good news. Something to rejoice in. All right, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel 2, verse 1 says, And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn, that means my strength, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. I rejoice in thy salvation. Everything in this world is tainted with sin. Therefore, everything in this world will give us a reason to be sad. Everything in this world is going to give us a reason to be sad. But let's take just a minute to remember this. Oh, may the Lord cause us to enter into this. Our God has saved us. Do we ever really enter into what that means? Our God has saved us. Our God has saved us from the sin. Our God has saved us from this world, everything in this world. Our God has saved us from ourselves. He saved us from the wickedness that is constantly raging inside of us. Wickedness is just thriving inside this old, stony, hard heart of mine, the heart of this flesh. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and I was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior, in love, gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. He reached down His hand for us. Hannah described this salvation in verse 6. She said, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." Physically speaking, the Lord is the one who kills and makes alive. Verse 7 says, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up." The economy doesn't make people poor. God does. And hard work does not make a man rich. God does. But spiritually speaking, she said, this is why my heart rejoices. This is the reason my heart is rejoicing. Verse 6, "The Lord killeth." Who does He kill? This old man right here. He slayed this old man right here. He slayed the flesh of this old man. He slayed this man on the cross. He slayed this man when He opened my eyes to see the truth of the matter. He slayed me. He slays me every time we open this word. Every time I open this word, it slays this old man. The Lord killeth. The Lord killeth. But she said, the Lord maketh alive. He puts life, He puts His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ in His people. In Him they live and move and have their being. She said in verse 6, He brought me down to the grave with Him. And He is the one who brought me right back up. She said in verse 7, the Lord makes poor. I'm going to tell you, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, blessed. They're so blessed. Blessed are those who are emptied. Blessed are those who are brought down and humbled. Why? Why is that? It's because that's who He makes rich. Blessed are the poor. That's who He's going to make rich. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the riches that God's people desire. Verse 7 says, He bringeth low. And He's the one who lifts up. He brings low that He might lift them up. Verse 8 says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. What a reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Look with me at Psalm 130. This particular verse does not say the word rejoice, but all of God's people sure do rejoice in this. Psalm 130, verse 7 says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption." Plenteous redemption. There is plenty of blood. This is what makes me preach one more time. Knowing and declaring to people, there's plenty of blood. There's plenty. With the Lord is mercy and redemption, and there's plenty of it. There is plenty of it. Here is a reason to rejoice. This, honestly, is a great reason to me to rejoice. This thing is not us four and no more. This is our club and you can't come in. No, sir. No, sir. There is plenty of mercy. There's plenty of mercy. God said, I am going to save so many people, you will never be able to count them. I'm going to save so many people. If God says it's an innumerable company, it's an innumerable. God cannot lie. Spend eternity trying. You'll never count them. You'll never count them. That's a reason to rejoice. There is plenty for our children. There's plenty. If He's willing, it's not our will, it's thine be done. But if He is willing, there's plenty for our families. There's plenty for our friends. There's plenty for our neighbors. There's plenty. Does anybody need mercy? Does anybody need mercy? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn straight from God's own veins. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and by God's grace shall be till I die. There's plenty. There is plenty. With the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenty of redemption. Rejoice. Rejoice. Go with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. The fullness of everything that He has accomplished for His people is about to be seen. It's about to be seen. The fullness of the acceptable year of the Lord is about to be seen. God says to all of His people, your broken hearts are about to be bound up. All of them. All of them. Forever. They're all about to be bound up. Eternal liberty is almost here. The experience of it. I'm about to put away all of your mourning. I'm about to put away all your sorrow. It's almost gone. Get ready to trade in your sackcloth and your ashes and your spirit of heaviness for the garment of beauty and praise. You ever carry around the spirit of heaviness? Does anybody ever care? I think I'm the only one sometimes. The spirit of heaviness. He said, that's about to go away. That's about to go away. Almost over. It's almost over. Rejoice in the Lord. It's almost over. Your holy God has saved you. His abundant mercy has redeemed you. So just hang in there. It's almost over. It's almost over. Now, with all that being said, with a reminder of all those reasons to rejoice, let me give you one more, and then let me illustrate it to you. Turn with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Why do we do that? Because it is becoming of a believer. It's becoming of a believer, considering all the reasons that Christ gave us to rejoice. Just thinking for one split second on some of the reasons that Christ has given us to rejoice. Rejoicing looks very appropriate on a believer. It looks very, very appropriate. Happiness and praise is a beautiful thing for a believer to wear around. It's just a beautiful, becoming, comely thing for a believer to wear. I love illustrations. I love hearing illustrations. I love telling illustrations. But the illustrations that I have, I only have a handful of illustrations. Every now and then one more gets put in the pile. The ones that I have to space them out. Because I would tell them all the time. I just tell them over and over. And so it dawns on me, okay, I've told that one enough. It's time to set that aside for a while. And we'll pull it back out later. Well, this one has been sitting aside for a while. I've told it to some of you many times. Some maybe haven't heard it. But I'm going to pull it back out because this is a wonderful, wonderful example of what it is to wear happiness, wear rejoicing. How becoming it is. 11 years ago, Hannah and I had the privilege of going to Mexico, and we stayed with the Groovers, and we stayed with Cody and Winna. And we were having breakfast at Walter and Betty's house. And over breakfast, Brother Walter started telling some of the stories of things that happened. These amazing things that happened through the course of his ministry. He got extremely emotional. Left for a minute on this story. Came back and he apologized, but he told the story. But he said one of the things he'll never forget is back in the early days, he would go village to village and he would set up a slideshow. He would show a movie of some type, I guess, to get everybody's attention. And then he would preach. And I don't know if he did it once or if he went a few times. But if he got any response and if somebody wanted him to come back, he would come back. Or go to their house and preach to their family, he would do that. If there was no response, he'd go to the next village. So, A woman heard him preach and wanted him to come preach to her family, wanted to come preach in her home. So he traveled out one day, and the roads, he said, were not really roads. They were wide walking paths, and he had a Jeep or something like that. And he said the wheels were on both sides of the road. It just barely fit. They didn't clear it much. And he said it was rocks, it was holes. There would be very few places to turn around. You couldn't go around anything. If you came to a tree or something, you deal with it, or you drive backwards until you can find a place to turn around. Well, he came up on these two native men who both had muzzleloader rifles. And he said things could be hostile back then. They did not like people coming in and preaching a new religion, turning people from the religion that they had, you know. And so here these two men had muzzleloaders, and he pulls up to them. They didn't get out of the road. One of them came to each window. He had his windows down. It was hot. This one asked him, "Are you a missionary?" And he said, "I was worried." But he said, "I told him, yes, I am." And the man said, "My daughter was 16 years old, and we just finished burying her." And he said, "I'm so sad." And he said, "I know that there is a God, but I don't know where he is. I don't know who he is." He said, "Will you come into my house and tell me who God is?" And Brother Walter said, "I can't." He said, "I have an appointment with a family in a village. It's a long journey. It's going to take me all day to get there, and I don't have time to stop. But," he said, "I'll be coming back this way tomorrow, and I'll be here about this time, and I'll stop, and I'll see you then." So he went on his way. And the next day, when he was coming back through, he got there about the time that he said he was going to be there, and he stopped at this grass hut, dirt floors. It was a grass house. And he said when he pulled up, he couldn't hardly get in the front door, because that man had gone into the village and told everybody that would listen to him, "There is a man coming to my house tomorrow who is going to tell us who God is. And if you want to know who God is, you better get to my house." And here they came. And Brother Walter made his way into that house, and he preached the gospel to them. And God's Spirit flooded that grass hut and brought mercy in. And he said, "God saved that man." That man's name was Feliz, which in English means happy. His name was Happy, and Walter said he was happy. That man was so happy. He said every time you saw that man, he was happy. He's always just happy. Happy in the Lord. You know, we may not be able to rejoice in anything that's going on in this world. We usually can't, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. Always. We can always, always rejoice in the Lord. So, again, I say one more time, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Lord, flood our hearts. Flood our hearts with your Spirit. Cause us to rejoice. All right, let's all stand together.